especially if they're someone who's interested in maintaining freedom and the rights guaranteed to their posterity, which were recognized by our founding fathers as granted by God, not government, not man, and protected by the Constitution for the United States of America, and a whole lot of other things that we've been discussing. This subject is going to carry into next week. This is Friday, and we've just gotten started. In fact, we may go several weeks on this. I don't really know. But we'll find out. That's for sure. And so while I'm getting my place here, the place that I left off on Wednesday night, you guys can listen to this. Make sure you got pen and paper by your side, and I'll be right back after this short pause.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want a new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
I continue, ladies and gentlemen, at the place in the report where we left off on Wednesday evening. The subcommittee received evidence that BATF has primarily devoted its firearms enforcement efforts to the apprehension upon technical malum prohibitum charges of individuals who lack all criminal intent and knowledge. Agents anxious to generate an impressive arrest and gun confiscation quota have repeatedly enticed gun collectors into making a small number of sales, often as few as 4, from their personal collections. Although each of the sales was completely legal under state and federal law, the agents then charged the collector with having engaged in the business of dealing in guns without the required license. Since existing law permits a felony conviction upon these charges, even where the individual has no criminal knowledge or intent, numerous collectors have been ruined by a felony record carrying a potential sentence of 5 years in federal prison. Even in cases where the collector secured acquittal or grand juries failed to indict, or prosecutors refused to file criminal charges, agents of the Bureau have generally confiscated the entire collection of the potential defendant upon the ground that he intended to use it in that violation of the law. In several cases, the agents have refused to return the collection even after acquittal by jury. So you can see, folks, these aren't police officers. These are criminals. When we call them jackbooted Nazi thugs, we're not pulling something out of the ether here. It's true. I continue. The defendant, under existing law, is not entitled to an award of attorney's fees. Therefore, should he secure return of his collection, an individual who has already spent thousands of dollars establishing his innocence of the criminal charges is required to spend thousands more to civilly prove his innocence of the same acts without hope of securing any redress. This, of course, has given the enforcing agency enormous bargaining power in refusing to return confiscated firearms. Evidence received by the Subcommittee on the Constitution demonstrated that bureau agents have tended to concentrate upon collector's items rather than criminal street guns. One witness, appearing before the subcommittee, related the confiscation of a shotgun valued at $7,000. Even the Bureau's own valuations indicate that the value of firearms confiscated by their agents is over twice the value which the Bureau has claimed is typical of street guns used in crime. In recent months, the average value has increased rather than decreased, indicating that the reforms announced by the Bureau have not, in fact, redirected their agents away from collector's items and toward guns used in crime. The Subcommittee on the Constitution has also obtained evidence of a variety of other misdirected conduct by agents and supervisors of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. In several cases, the Bureau has sought conviction for supposed technical violations based upon policies and interpretations of law which the Bureau had not published in the Federal Register as required by 5 United States Code, Section 552. For instance, beginning in 1975, Bureau officials apparently reached a judgment that a dealer who sells to a legitimate purchaser may nonetheless be subject to prosecution or license revocation if he knows that that individual intends to transfer the firearm to a non-resident or other unqualified purchaser. This position was never published in the Federal Register and is indeed contrary to indications which Bureau officials had given Congress that such sales were not in violation of existing law. Moreover, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms had informed dealers that an adult purchaser could legally buy for a minor barred by his age from purchasing a gun on his own. BATF made no effort to suggest that this was applicable only where the barrier was one of age. Rather than informing the dealers of this distinction, Bureau agents set out to produce mass arrests upon these strawman sale charges, sending out undercover agents to entice dealers into transfers of this type. The first major use of these charges in South Carolina in 1975 led to 37 dealers being driven from business, many convicted on felony charges. When one of the judges informed Bureau officials that he felt dealers had not been fairly treated and given information of the policies they were expected to follow and refused to permit further prosecutions until they were informed, Bureau officials were careful to inform only the dealers in that one state, and even then complained in internal memoranda that this was interfering with the creation of the cases. When BATF was later requested to place a warning to dealers on the front of the Form 4473, which each dealer executes when a sale is made, it instead chose to place the warning in fine print upon the back of the form, thus further concealing it from the dealer's sight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is in effect the very same thing as creating a new law, but never informing the public that they have done so, something that's never been against the law before. Can you believe this, what they did? They were making it against the law for a father to buy his son, who was underage, a .22 rifle. And then they were sending out agents to entrap gun dealers who sold .22 rifles or any other kind of firearm to a father or to an adult as that was going to be given as a gift to a minor who could not purchase the weapon on his or her own merit. And they weren't telling anybody that they were going to do this. It's never been against the law. It's not against the law to purchase something and give it to a minor if you're the parent, whether you know that or not. It's the truth. And the federal government hasn't got any business with their nose in this kind of stuff anyway. It's unconstitutional, blatantly unconstitutional, ladies and gentlemen. The Constitution Subcommittee also received evidence that the Bureau has formulated a requirement of which dealers were not informed that requires a dealer to keep official records of sales even from his private collection. BATF has gone farther than merely failing to publish this requirement. At one point, even as it was prosecuting a dealer on this charge, admitting that he had no criminal intent, the director of the Bureau wrote Senator S.I. Hayakawa to indicate that there was no such legal requirement and it was completely lawful for a dealer to sell from his collection without recording it. Since that date, the director of the Bureau has stated that that is not the Bureau's position and that such sales are completely illegal. After making that statement, however, he was quoted in an interview for a magazine read primarily by licensed firearm dealers as stating that such sales were in fact legal and permitted by the Bureau. In these and similar areas, the Bureau has violated not only the dictates of common sense, but of 5 United States Code, Section 552, which was intended to prevent secret lawmaking by administrative bodies. Now, folks, why would they have to write a law to prevent secret lawmaking by administrative bodies when such a thing is not lawful or constitutional in this country to begin with? No citizen can be expected to obey a law which he knows absolutely nothing about, could find nothing about, is not on the books, and is in fact secret. Some bad things going on. Very, very bad. This is a United States Senate report, folks. This is what the Senate discovered. And this is mild compared to what's happened since 1982. I continue. These practices, amply documented in hearings before this subcommittee, leave little doubt that the Bureau has disregarded rights guaranteed by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. It has trampled upon Second Amendment by chilling exercise of the right to keep and bear arms by law-abiding citizens. It has offended the Fourth Amendment by unreasonably searching and seizing private property. It has ignored the Fifth Amendment by taking private property without just compensation and by entrapping honest citizens without regard for their right to due process of law. The rebuttal presented to the subcommittee by the Bureau was utterly unconvincing. Richard Davis, speaking on behalf of the Treasury Department, asserted vaguely that the Bureau's priorities were aimed at prosecuting willful violators, particularly felons illegally in possession, and at confiscating only guns actually likely to be used in crime. He also asserted that the Bureau has recently made great strides toward achieving these priorities. You see, folks, they're also chronic liars. Liars! How do people like this get in positions in our government? Criminals! Liars! And they think nothing of it. It's amazing. No documentation was offered for either of these assertions. In hearing before BATF's Appropriations Subcommittee, however, expert evidence was submitted establishing that approximately 75% of Bureau alcohol, tobacco, and firearms gun prosecutions were aimed at ordinary citizens who had neither criminal intent nor knowledge, but were enticed by agents into unknowing technical violations. That's exactly what they did to Randy Weaver, ladies and gentlemen. Randy Weaver never hurt anybody. He wasn't a criminal, didn't have a criminal record, had served honorably in the United States Army. They sent two BATF agents up there to his home to sell him a sawed-off shotgun, which was just barely 1/4 inch under the legal limit. Sold it to him. Then the other one went and bought it from him. So here's two agents coercing a guy that had never done anything illegal in his life or unlawful, didn't want to do anything illegal or unlawful. One guy pretended to be a friend, got to know him pretty well, pretended to be a friend, sold him a sawed-off shotgun, told him that that it was illegal then. And then the other agent went up, pretended to be a friend, bought it from him. Then they arrested him and prosecuted him, told him they were going to put him in jail for the rest of his life unless he would become a BATF spy on all of his neighbors, friends, and acquaintances. Randy Weaver refused. He refused, ladies and gentlemen. And they told him if he refused, they were going to throw the book at him, put him in jail forever. So you know what he did? Knowing that the whole thing was rigged beforehand, that it was a kangaroo court, and that he wasn't going to get a fair trial, he just never showed up for trial. Moved his family up to the mountains in Idaho, bought some property, and just stayed on that property. Didn't go anywhere. That's what that was all about, ladies and gentlemen. And then they sent... Well, we'll go into that on another night. What they did is murder his wife in cold blood. Murdered his son in cold blood. Shot Randy and his friend Kevin. And if you think they didn't do anything wrong, Randy was acquitted on all charges. All charges. There is an FBI sniper on trial in the state of Utah now for murdering his wife. And Randy Weaver collected several million dollars from the government for that. And that's just one of the things that they've done. We could sit here and talk about it for the rest of my life on the hour of the time and never run out of material to talk about. Let me finish this report if I can. I keep getting on these little sidetracks because these are things you don't know about. It's exactly what they did to Randy Weaver. These practices, amply documented in hearings before this subcommittee, leave little doubt that the Bureau has disregarded rights guaranteed by the Constitution and laws of the United States. In one case, in fact, the individual was being prosecuted for an act which the Bureau's acting director had stated was perfectly lawful. In those hearings, moreover, BATF conceded that, in fact, one, only 9.8% of their firearms arrests were brought on felons in illicit possession charges. Number two, the average value of guns seized was $116, whereas BATF had claimed that crime guns were priced at less than half that figure. Three, in the months following the announcement of their new priorities, the percentage of gun prosecutions aimed at felons had in fact fallen by a third, and the value of confiscated guns had risen. All this indicates that the Bureau's vague claims, both of focus upon gun-using criminals and of recent reforms, are nothing more than empty words. That's what the Senate report says. I say they're just flat-out lies, and the evidence supports my claim much better than, quote, empty words, end quote. In light of this evidence, reform of federal firearms laws is necessary to protect the most vital rights of American citizens. Such legislation is embodied in Senate 1030, that legislation would require proof of a willful violation as an element of a federal gun prosecution, forcing enforcing agencies to ignore the easier technical cases and aim solely at the intentional breaches. It would restrict confiscation of firearms to those actually used in an offense and require their return should the owner be acquitted of the charges. By providing for award of attorney's fees in confiscation cases or in other cases if the judge finds charges were brought without just basis or from improper motives, this proposal would be largely self-enforcing. S. 1030 would enhance vital protection of constitutional and civil liberties of those Americans who chose to exercise their Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of this report. That's it. That is the report. So, while you're listening to some music here, I will go on to something else. Whoops. That was the wrong one. We'll have one up here for you in just a second. There you go.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. You to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashers make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the shell. The CIA, the FBI, the ATF, and the FDA. They don't give a damn about the POW and the MIA. Hillary, Billary, Hitler, Marx, and Mao. They want a new world order. They want it all. And they want it now. This Illuminati imports the dope. They create the chaos. Bring us out. Crush our hope. They created AIDS. It's their designer disease. To bring you down. To grovel on your knees. They want to vaccinate your child and give them the mark. They want to illuminate you and keep you in the dark. They want you to pay for it with plastic surrender your soul. They want you under their thumb.
I get their control. They want his
home. A new world order. A new world order. Thank you.
Satan free. Illuminati. New world order. The people are with God. New world order. That's the chapter. New world order. New world order. They're not coming to the world. They're not more. They're more. They're more. A new world order.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to get on the internet here in order to go to some material that I want to cover. And the internet service provider does not appear to be cooperating. In other words, it's not answering. Oh, here we go. So it will just be a couple of more minutes. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, these things don't matter. They're still committing illegal acts. Which there are. There are illegal acts, and there is such a thing as entrapment. And there are illegal acts that are unconstitutional and unlawful and on their face. When somebody comes to you and over a period of several months makes friends with you and then offers to sell you something that you might be able to use, and they tell you, oh, don't worry about it, you know, and they're a friend, so you trust what they say. I've learned not to trust anybody in matters like that just because of these kinds of things that I know about that none of you know anything about. And you go ahead and you take his word for it and you don't measure the length of the barrel, which is just barely under the legal length so that you wouldn't know it just by glancing at it. And then another guy that you've known for several months comes and offers to buy it from you and give you a little bit of profit there. Well, you know, if you've got mouths to feed and you don't make a whole lot of money, what are you going to do, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can sell it to them. And this is how they coerce people into becoming informants. I know for a fact that the DEA, on many occasions, has planted drugs on people just so that they could arrest them and scare them half out of their mind and then coerce them by saying, hey, if you don't go along with what we want you to do, you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. And so they get them to spy on everybody that they know. And it happens everywhere. Folks, it's happening in your own community. This is how it's done. And that's what they wanted Randy Weaver to do. In exchange for cooperating and spying on everybody that he knows for the BATF, they were going to make a deal and let him off the charges. If not, they were going to put him in jail for the rest of his life. And, you know, he didn't know that the shotgun was under length. He had no intentions of buying a shotgun that was under length and using it for any kind of, illegal purpose. There was no intent there whatsoever. Let's look at some of the strange things that BATF agents do. Let's sort of take a look at this stuff. We're on our webpage, the Harvest Trust webpage, under BATF. And we got all of this stuff. And just go down here. Well, let's take this one. This was reported in the Milwaukee Sentinel, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on March the 9th, 1995. An agent of the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms was assigned to administrative duty pending the outcome of an internal investigation into allegations he held a gun to the head of a man in a downtown tavern, an ATF spokesman said. The 43-year-old agent appeared in the district attorney's office Tuesday, but no charges had been issued Wednesday. The agent allegedly threatened a man at the Gaslight Tavern, 775 North Jackson Street, Monday evening. The agent was not arrested. The agency's Office of Inspection is investigating the incident, said Jim Kubushek, an ATF spokesman in St. Paul, Minnesota. So what do you think, folks? Here's another one. Decision of actions by Ohio Attorney General Lee Fisher, quote, also without any tax legislation being passed and at the encouragement of the BATF, Lee Fisher simply slapped a $15 charge on gun buyers for doing the check. No study to determine real costs, no legislative oversight, just old, plain, and simple taxation without representation, end quote. You just call that extortion. How about this one? This one is a summary. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's a summary of several news articles, not just one, several different news articles about a fatal game of Russian roulette played by two Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agents. Here's one. This is excerpted from a news group, Talk Politics Guns. BATF harasses non-FFL surplus store. There was a local Army-Navy surplus store that sells ammo and various non-PC items like folding SKS stocks. Last week, the BATF came into the store and told the owner that if they didn't get rid of the SKS stocks and some non-PC literature, that's politically correct, literature, 1022 exotic weapon system like books, that they would shut them down. They also had the owner pull all inert grenade shells so they could be inspected and inventoried. I wasn't aware that selling SKS stocks was illegal, nor was I aware that the First Amendment was repealed. But that's exactly what they've been doing, ladies and gentlemen. How about this one? In Atlanta, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. On the BATF front, they've been at it again here in Atlanta. Friday night, the BATF led an armed assault on a car parts store here in Atlanta to recover some allegedly stolen tires. That's right, automobile tires. Raid conducted by the BATF. The raid involved over 75 BATF goons. This time they were in full Gestapo uniform, including the black uniforms and helmets that were real dead ringers for the World War II German Nazi helmets. I couldn't tell from the TV coverage whether they had their SS armbands. One of the TV reporters asked a BATF spokesman why the obvious excessive use of force was necessary. He replied, better safe than sorry. Gotta watch out for those evil assault white sidewall tires. Still unanswered was why the BATF was involved in what could at most be a Treasury and or an FBI matter. I guess the BATF has become Commandante Reno's dirty trick squad. The truth is, folks, is this kind of cross-purpose stuff is happening all across the government. Here's another one. You may have heard something about this. The annual Good Old Boys Roundup was cited as evidence of Klan attitude at the BATF. This is from the Washington Times, July the 11th, 1995, front page. By Jerry Stepper, the Washington Times, Ocoee, Tennessee. And basically what it talks about is the annual Good Old Boys Roundup held in the Tennessee Hills by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, with hundreds of federal, state, and local law enforcement officers. They gather to let off steam, they say. And I guess there's a lot to tone down, because apparently these people have a lot of hate within them, and they're they're just blatant, flat-out racists. They had a sign up where they would stop cars, and it was called the Nigger Checkpoint. The Nigger Checkpoint, to check to make sure that no blacks got into the Good Old Boys Roundup. And every year, between May 18th and 20th, it's organized by agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Also recently, there were a couple of black BATF officers sued the BATF and were given judgments in their favor for discrimination. They used to do skits at the Good Old Boys Roundup. Like, they used to have a good old boys steak dinner, and in one of these skits, an officer used to dress up like a Ku Klux Klan guy, and he would pull a he would pull something out of his garb that let me put it this way, that lesbians would be most likely to use with each other, and pretended to sodomize another officer who was dressed in blackface. And all of this, of course, was just terrible, despicable stuff. They used to sell T-shirts with Martin Luther King Jr.'s face behind a Target, O.J. Simpson in a hangman's noose, and white Washington, D.C. police officers with a black man sprawled across the hood of their car under the word, quote, boys, B-O-Y-Z, on the hood, end quote. They also sold nigger hunting licenses, etc., etc. I could go on. I mean, there's pages and pages of stuff here that came out of the investigation of the Good Old Boys Roundup. And I'm in it, literally, pages and pages and pages of this kind of stuff. Our government, ladies and gentlemen, is the Constitution for the United States, the Bill of Rights, and the lawful amendments thereto. The government is not these people. It's not agencies. It's not William Clinton. Our lawful government has been subverted from within. It's been taken over by crooks, by liars, by criminals, by people who don't give a damn about this country. These people have turned right into wrong and wrong into right, and they're shaking this country out, I got to tell you. And, you know, it might last a few more years. I kind of doubt it myself. I really don't think that's going to, I don't think this country is going to last too much longer at all. Let's go over to my good friend Aaron Zellman's page. He's the director of the Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership. And he was the one you heard in the rerun last night. I forget when that was aired, but it was years ago. I mean, that's an old rerun. We were doing these things on this broadcast so many years ago, you'd just be amazed, folks. We never covered anything like what we're doing now so extensively in so many back-to-back broadcasts, except for the United Nations and the documentation of the coming world government, which I may do again here pretty soon, but without all the other stuff that was in the original broadcast. Just edit all that stuff out and just air it back to back to back to back. We're getting down to the wire, and people must become educated very, very quickly. It's absolutely essential that people wake up and discover what's happening, get a handle on it, and learn how they can do something about it. So we'll go directly to JFPO, or JPFO, I should say, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Aaron Zellman is the executive director. And their little blurb is that it's America's most aggressive defender of firearms ownership. And I got to tell you that that's true. You may not understand that. You may think that the NRA is some great defender of the Second Article and Amendment. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not true. The NRA was subverted years ago and is actually working hand in hand with our enemies to destroy our ability to keep and bear arms. And they're operating in a manner that they allow nibbles to be taken from our rights. And over a period of years, those nibbles become huge, big bites. They have a place here that's called JFPO Alerts. So let's go and see what's going on there. Proper response to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. This is great. They also have the Bill of Rights milestone, letter to the editor, action needed. Actions speak louder than words, new paradigms in civil rights. A Bill of Rights Day wildfire. We're going to be talking about that a lot next week because we're going to want you and your community to get together and sponsor and have your city council and even county board of supervisors pass a Bill of Rights Day. And it's going to be the same day everywhere. So by local people in their local places getting this passed, we're going to have a Bill of Rights Day all across the country in every community, every town, every county. It's going to happen. And this is something that was started by the by Aaron Zellman and the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. He called me just when he was starting to get it going, and we talked about it and determined that it's a good idea, and it's already getting quite a bit of support in a lot of places all across the country. So we're going to get that going in the Round Valley, and everybody listening, wherever you're at, we want you to get that going wherever you're at. Even if you're in a foreign country, you need to talk about these things. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the only place left where people have even any kind of a modicum of freedom. Here's the proper response to the BATF regarding the BATF study of importation of firearms under the, quote, sporting purposes, end quote, test. And I think you're going to find this very interesting. The BATF has taken another step across the line, and they're saying that now guns can't come in to the country, can't be imported unless they're strictly guns that can only and clearly only be used for sporting purposes. There's something really wrong with that right off the bat, folks. It's like calling a gun an assault weapon. If I have a tire iron and I assault you with it, that's an assault weapon. There's no such thing as guns that can only be used for sporting purposes. A gun is a weapon that is used to kill. Whether it's used for target practice all the time or not, it doesn't make any difference. A gun, a firearm, is something that was made to kill and can kill, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you say you're going to use it for, or anything else. And here's the response. Dear Director McGaw, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Incorporated, JPFO, respectfully submits this response to your December the 10th, 1997 request for comments from interested groups about the importation of certain semi-automatic rifles. JPFO strongly objects to any law or regulation that distinguishes between firearms based on their presumed purpose. Such laws employed to disarm civilians in Nazi Germany illegitimately permit government officials to arbitrarily classify and then eventually ban firearms. The Gun Control Act of 1968 permits the importation of firearms that are of a type generally recognized as particularly suitable for or readily adaptable to sporting purposes. 18 United States Code, Section 925, small d, 3. The Nazi Weapons Law, 18 March 1938, forbade importation of weapons under substantially the same test. Quote, it is forbidden to manufacture and to import firearms which fold down, break down, are collapsible, or are speedily dismantled beyond the common limits of hunting and sporting activities. End quote. Translated in full in Simpkin and Zellman, Gun Control, Gateway to Tyranny, 60 to 61, 90-1992, the Nazi Weapons Law and the Enforcing Regulations carved the sporting use exception also where they permitted licensed persons to carry, quote, firearms designed for and usually used for the hunting of fair game, end quote. Nazi Weapons Law, Section 21, Implementing Regulations, 19 March 1938, Section 32, and Gateway to Tyranny at 88-102. The Gun Control Act also purports to vest the power in the Secretary of the Treasury to determine whether a firearm has a sporting purpose. Something wrong here. That's in 18 U.S.C., Section 925, small d. The Nazi Weapons Law vested the power to decide the fitness of weapons and their owners in the unelected bureaucracy and the Nazi courts. Nazi Weapons Law, subsection 15, 25, and 26. Germany's constitution did not refrain its government from disarming the German citizens. And, of course, we all know what happened because of that. Well, there's something really wrong with this web page. You can't go any farther than that. Something has screwed it up, folks. It's amazing how many web pages on the internet that are run as constitutional bastions and protections of the rights of the American citizens, and web pages that promote the right to keep and bear arms. You'd be amazed at how many things go wrong with those web pages. You'd be amazed at how many problems that we've had with our web page because of what it is. Oops, that's the wrong one. Here we go. This is what I want to look at. If we can get it. How many of you, I wonder, teach your children how to properly handle a gun at an early age? Take them out and let them become proficient at target practice. Teach them how to respect a weapon and clean it and use it. When I was a boy, that was a normal thing for fathers to do, and even some mothers, all across this country. In fact, a lot of mothers did it. It was a big thing, gun ownership. People took pride in the right to keep and bear arms. And they made sure that their children, especially the boys, usually were given a .22 rifle at some point in their young life. They were taught how to handle it, where to store it, how to clean it, how to use it. And it was a great way for fathers and sons to get to know each other because they went out target practicing all the time. How many of you know that if you're really relying on your 911 service to save your life, Now, don't get me wrong, folks. There have been some people whose lives have been saved because they dialed 911. And for some reason, the police got there really quick and kept somebody from being killed. But how many of you really know that in the majority of cases, people who are really in serious life-threatening danger who dial 911 are still murdered? How many of you know that if those people had a weapon in their home and knew how to use it, they'd still be alive? How many of you realize that every year there are about 150,000 life-threatening crimes that are not committed because the perpetrator discovers that the victim or the potential victim is carrying a gun? In most of those instances, to stop the crime, all the potential victim had to do was just let the criminal know that he had a gun. Most of the time, the gun was never drawn. In a few instances, the gun was drawn but never fired. Just the sight of the gun in the hands of the intended victim made the criminals stop what they were doing and run away. And in a few cases, every year, somebody has to fire a gun to protect their life and save themselves from some terrible, drugged out or whacked out nut that wants to do them harm. Well, it's true, ladies and gentlemen. And before this series is over, we're going to be reading you the statistics on all of these things that are readily available to anybody who wants to see them. About 3 or 4 years ago, probably about 4 years ago, I was called on the telephone by a woman who came to this country from Germany. She was a young girl during Hitler's rise to power, and her parents and she managed to escape Germany before the real bad fighting began. And she came to this country and grew up here. But all of her life, she's never forgotten what happened in Germany. She called me, this was 4 years ago, and it's worse now. She called me to tell me that I was right on the mark. That what is happening in this country today is exactly what she saw happening in Germany during Hitler's rise to power. And she is absolutely terrified that she's going to have to go through this stuff all over again. Tomorrow, we're going to read to you what a Holocaust survivor, one of the people who went through that whole thing in the Nazi camps, has to say about what's going on in America today and about gun control in particular. So you don't want to miss it. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. Well, I take that back. It's not going to be tomorrow. This is Friday, isn't it? You know what? I lost the whole day because I didn't do a live broadcast yesterday. This will happen on Monday, and we'll continue with our current topic, the right to keep and bear arms, all next week, and maybe, probably, I can tell you most probably, even the week after. So don't miss it, folks. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Clinton's been well past through. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, think of the facts.
Get out of this house. Sell your guns. Give me your gold. you better obey if you want to come home. Cats against their head do what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying hit the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar's right, Clinton's preparing it for another huge pack hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white, program agitation.
You're surrounded by the UN in white flags, the ATF, the Men in Black, of the One World Order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. Masonic mind manipulation, inciting riots is crisis creation. Biochip implantation, vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and can never be taken away.
Atmospheric, social illusion, media hype, plan confusion.
Masonic religion, it's a liar. Not your praying for a Luciferian Messiah.
You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager, classic radio like you always wished it could be.